virtual cure for asthma. No drugs at all. And it's a virtual cure for asthma. And that's what his foundation is. And we'll be promoting it on our website as well, his particular cure. And he was telling me how he went to the various associations, the Lung Association and so forth, and they didn't want to know anything about a natural cure. All these associations wanted was money. They just wanted Paul to go out and raise money and give it to the associations. They didn't care about the cure. They didn't care about getting people well. All they wanted was the money. All they wanted to do is to keep their $500,000 a year jobs. They don't want a cure. There's no interest. The American Heart Association, the American Cancer Society, the American Diabetes Association, the American Lung Association, they do not want cures for disease, because if there were, they wouldn't be in need for their associations or their foundations or their charities. And the people that are on the payroll, making $500,000 a year, $1 million a year, flying first class and on private jets at your expense, eating in the finest restaurants, living a lifestyle that would make a rock star or a king or queen envious. They don't want cures because they would lose their power, their influence. They would lose their invitations to the White House. They would lose all of the influence and the perks and the gratuities they get and a huge amount of power and money. That's the problem. That's the problem. So why do we get sick? Let's talk about this. Is it germs? Is it bacteria? Is it viruses? Is it genetics? Well, let's think about it. You don't catch cancer. Your body develops cancer. You don't catch diabetes. Your body develops diabetes. You don't catch obesity. Your body becomes fat and obese. You don't catch heartburn or acid reflux, as it's called today. It's developed. You don't catch headaches. You don't catch fibromyalgia. You don't catch back pain. You don't catch arthritis. You don't catch PMS. You don't catch impotence. You don't catch any of these things. You don't catch attention deficit disorder. You don't catch stress. You don't catch depression. You don't catch anxiety. On and on and on. All of these medical conditions are developed in the body. You don't catch them. It's not a germ. It's not a virus. It's not bacteria. Matter of fact, the majority of illness is in fact self-inflicted. And drugs are not the answer. You don't have a headache because you have an aspirin deficiency. The question is, why do human beings have so much illness? And more illness today than ever before, with all the medical advancements, with all the money poured into research, with all the new super wonder drugs, why is every disease increasing? Well, first of all, you have to realize that being sick is not normal, and it is not the natural state of the body. Your body is not supposed to get sick. Think about this startling fact. Animals don't get heart attacks. Let me say that again. Animals never get heart attacks in the wild. But why do humans? Animals in the wild don't get cancer. They don't get diabetes. They don't have arthritis. They don't get virtually any of the common human diseases. Animals virtually never get sick. Except, of course, when they are in captivity. When animals are under human care and get vaccine injections, immunizations, drugs, processed food, animals start succumbing to many, if not all, of the diseases that humans are riddled with. Think about this. Animals do not exercise in the wild, and they have no obesity or weight problems. Animals don't go to doctors in the wild and live to be 10 to 20 times their maturity age. Chimpanzees and gorillas are great examples. They don't lose their teeth. They don't have arthritis. They don't have diabetes. They don't need insulin shots. They don't have cancer. They don't have asthma. They don't have allergies. They're not constipated. They have no insomnia. And they live to be an equivalent to about 180 human years. Interestingly enough, they go through their entire lives without taking any prescription or non-prescription drug or medication. So, is there a way that we as human beings can do some Very simple and easy things that can keep us disease-free, illness-free, and full of life, energy, and vitality? The answer is absolutely yes. But let's go back to the cause of all disease and the reason why we're sick, because that's the most important thing to start with. Think about the fact that there are cultures around the world where the people have never had cancer or heart disease or acid reflux or prostate problems. Infertility just doesn't exist. Yet when these people start living a Western lifestyle, amazing things begin to happen to their health. They get fat, they start getting sick, and they begin to develop all the common diseases we hear about today. The question is, why do human beings living a Western lifestyle have more sickness and disease than other human beings around the globe? The answer is, nobody really knows. The medical industry presents information as if they do know. They claim they have, quote, scientific evidence proving the truth of their theories. The fact is, what the medical industry has are only the theories. When you investigate what is being presented as fact, you find that they are actually only theories that are nothing more than the opinions of individual people. I saw that over and over again, and you have to understand that. You'll hear these things presented as fact on television and newspapers, and you have to, and I'm going to say it over and over again in this book, you have to understand that when you're hearing a doctor say something as fact, when you're hearing something presented as fact on television or in the news or in a magazine or newspaper, folks, it's not facts. It's somebody's opinion, and it's bound, almost guaranteed to be changed later when new information becomes available. Einstein's theory of relativity is presented as fact. Yet people forget it's called the theory of relativity. And in fact, it's not a fact of relativity. It's a theory of relativity. The term, quote, scientific evidence is one of the greatest deceptions of all time. We hear this all the time. First, this, quote, scientific evidence that you hear about is almost always paid for and manufactured by the corporations that it will benefit. Rarely does an independent, unbiased third party produce any of this, quote, scientific evidence that you hear about. If the, quote, scientific evidence is so accurate, why are the conclusions and results constantly being disproved when new additional research is produced? You are led to believe that, quote, scientific evidence proves that something is true. This is a false assumption. Every day we hear, quote, new research shows old research to be false, end quote. The bottom line is, you will hear the term, quote, scientifically proven, used when the medical community claims they know the cause of disease. You will hear medical doctors make statements of fact when in reality they are only opinions. You are being misled and you are being lied to. You are being deceived. The truth is, nobody knows why people are getting so sick. We can only guess and come up with our own theories and our own conclusions. So, based on personal experience, reading thousands of pages of documents and hearing the firsthand accounts from virtually thousands and thousands of people and healthcare practitioners around the world, I've come up with what I believe to be the cause of virtually all sickness and disease in the body. There are only two reasons why a person becomes ill. Number one, they catch something. This means your body picked up a germ, generally a virus or a bacteria. Number two, you develop an illness or disease. This means there is some imbalance in the body. Something is not working right, and an illness or disease develops. Common diseases in this category include heart disease, cancer, diabetes, acid reflux, arthritis, etc. Remember, in our search for the ultimate cause of all illness and the ultimate cure for all illness, we must always ask the right questions. And that question is, quote, what caused that? With this in mind, let's start with, quote, catching something. One may say that the cause of catching a germ is pretty evident. You obviously caught the germ from someone else who had it. This is where medical science stops. They claim that drugs must be developed to kill these bacteria and viruses, these germs. However, they're asking the wrong question. The fact is that we are all exposed to bacteria and viruses on a daily basis. See, if one person in your home or office has the flu, for example, then every single person has been exposed to and, quote, caught the flu virus. When anthrax was found in the envelope in the building in the East Coast, every single person in that building got and was exposed to and caught anthrax. The question is not whether you will pick up bacteria or virus. The real question is, why do some people succumb to the bacteria and virus and get sick and other people do not? Let's take two people. Expose them both to the flu virus at the same time. One person comes down with all the symptoms of the flu and becomes very sick. The other person shows no symptoms whatsoever, stays healthy, and does not get the flu. They both got the flu virus. One person succumbed to it and got sick, and the other person did not and remained healthy. Throughout your life, you will pick up thousands of bacteria and viruses. This is natural. The real question to ask is why your body does not do what it was designed to do: fight off and handle the bacteria or virus. Why did you succumb to the bacteria or virus? The answer: your body is out of balance and your immune system is weak. If your body was in balance, a state called homeostasis, and your immune system was strong, you would never show any symptoms of any of the viruses or bacteria that you pick up during your lifetime. You would never get sick because of virus or bacteria. Then the question becomes, what is causing my body to be out of balance and what is causing my immune system to be weak? I will give you the answer in just a moment, but let's first go to the second reason people get sick. Remember, you get sick because you either catch something or develop something in the body on its own. You catch something because your body is out of balance and your immune system is weak. You develop something in the body either because your body is out of balance or a toxin is getting into the body and causing the problem to develop. So let's walk through this nice and slow. The reasons you get sick are, number one, your body is out of balance, which means it's not functioning normally. Number two, your immune system is weak, which means it's not functioning normally. And number three, toxins are getting into the body. What is a toxin? A toxin is a poison. It is a substance that, if taken in large doses at one time, would cause severe illness or death. Now the question is, what causes the body to be out of balance? Answer: putting toxins in the body and not putting into the body enough of the right stuff. What causes the immune system to be weak? Answer: putting toxins in the body and not putting into the body enough of the right stuff. We seem to be making a little progress. It appears then, we'll just extrapolate this out a little further, it appears then that all illness is caused by just two things. Number one, toxins being put into the body, and number two, not putting enough of the right stuff in the body. See, that's really what illness is all based on. You're going to catch viruses and bacteria. The only reason you'll succumb to the symptoms is if your body is not strong enough, if your immune system is not strong enough to fight it off. The reason your immune system isn't strong enough to fight it off is because of the toxins you're putting in, and you're not putting in enough of the right stuff, the right nutrients. That's the reason your immune system is weak. And why do you develop diseases? You develop diseases because either there's not enough of the right nutrients or toxins or poisons are in the body. So virtually all disease then can be broken down. The reason you're sick is either you catch something or you develop it. You catch it, you're going to catch viruses and bacteria all the time. But you'll succumb to them if your immune system is weak. And your immune system is weak because your body's out of balance, and it's out of balance because you're not putting enough nutrients in. We call that the right stuff. And you have too many toxins in. You'll develop a disease like cancer, heart disease, acid reflux, diabetes, because of the toxins or the poisons coming in, and your body's out of balance. So it all breaks down to those two things. Either, number one, there's too many toxins in the body, And number two, you're not putting enough right stuff in the body. So let's use our magic question. What caused that? We just keep asking, what caused that? In relation to toxins, the question is, what is causing toxins to be put into our body? The answer is that we have not been educated to know what these toxins are. And secondly, these toxins are being put in virtually everything we eat without our knowledge. Now, here is the big one. The most toxic thing you can put in your body, and the number one cause of virtually all illness and disease, are prescription and non-prescription drugs themselves. Let me just say that again. The most toxic thing you can put in your body, and the number one cause of virtually all illness and disease, are the prescription and non-prescription drugs you're taking. Isn't that shocking? Folks, this is the reason why today in America we take more drugs than ever before, yet we're sicker than ever before. In my opinion, probably the number one reason people are sick is because of the amount of drugs they take. The statistics show, in my opinion, almost 100% conclusively, that the more prescription and non-prescription drugs you take, the sicker you are. The more symptoms you have, the more illness, the more disease. Why? Because all drugs have negative side effects. Let me say it again. All drugs have negative side effects. If you are taking a drug to suppress one symptom, that drug is causing some other major problem to start developing in your body. Even if you stop taking that drug, the wheels have been set in motion, and in a few weeks or a few months, boom, you have some more symptoms caused by the first drug you took a few months ago. You go to the doctor, and he gives you another drug to suppress these new symptoms. This new drug has negative side effects, and after you start taking it, the wheels will have already been put in motion, and viola. You have new symptoms, which were in fact caused by the drug you were just taking for the other symptoms. You go to your doctor and he gives you another drug. Drugs cause almost all medical problems. Drugs only suppress symptoms. They do not treat the cause of illness and disease. It's a great business for the drug companies. If they get you taking one drug, man, they've got you. Because that drug is going to suppress the symptoms, probably, but it's also going to cause you to have another symptom in a very short period of time for which you will be prescribed another drug. Once they get you to take one drug to suppress a symptom, keeping in mind it is not addressing the cause of your illness anyway, the likelihood of you taking another drug and then another drug and then another drug keeps going up and up and up. The more drugs you take, the sicker you get, simply because drugs are major poisons. Drugs are major toxins. Someone says, drugs can't really be poison, can they? Then why don't you just take 30 of them right now and see what happens? You'll probably die. If you eat 30 apples, you're not going to die. You may feel full, but you're not going to die. Think about it. Now, I love it when someone says, well, it's in such a small amount, you know, when they refer to the dosage of things. It's, you know, there's such a small amount of it in there, it can't be bad. Well, what if I put just a really small amount of my urine in your food? Would you eat it? Of course not. This is the big shocker. See, the industry that is promoting itself as the group dedicated to the prevention and cure of disease is actually the group causing more sickness and disease to occur than ever before. This includes the American Medical Association. The AMA is not an organization that has any interest in seeing people cured of disease. Their only interest is seeing the profits of their members, which are the drug companies and the doctors, go up. The AMA presents itself fraudulently making you believe that they have an interest in the cure and prevention of disease. They do not. In their charter, any doctor that is using a natural remedy can be thrown out. They only promote drugs and surgery and the expensive pharmaceutical industry treatments. The AMA will not, under any circumstances, promote a non-patented, all-natural, inexpensive remedy. They won't do it. It's against their charter. That's what people don't get. All drugs are chemicals, folks. All drugs have negative side effects. All drugs, every single one of them, something as simple as an aspirin, can cause death. All drugs are poisons. An outstanding book, which I highly recommend you read, is called Overdose: The Case Against the Drug Companies. Did you know that 250,000 Americans die every year from the correct dosage of a prescription or non-prescription drug? Let me just say that again. Maybe you didn't hear it. Over 250,000 Americans die every year from taking the proper dosage of an over-the-counter or prescription drug. That's how poisonous and dangerous they are. Get this. 2,000 people died last year from taking a single aspirin. 2,000. There are dozens of articles showing how prescription and non-prescription drugs are causing virtually all illness and disease. Drugs are not the answer to preventing and curing disease. They are the cause. Even if drugs do not directly cause a disease, drugs cause the body to go completely out of balance, and they weaken the immune system so that diseases become more prevalent and are easier to develop in the body. People who get sick the most often are those who have taken the most drugs in the past. And when I say drugs, I'm not talking about cocaine or heroin or marijuana or those type of drugs. I'm talking about prescription and non-prescription drugs. And do you know, when I talk to people about this, I go, well, I don't take drugs. You don't. No, I don't take drugs. Really, you don't. No, I don't take. Some of you listening right now are saying, Kevin, I don't take drugs. Okay, let me open up your medicine cabinet. What's this? Oh, that's just a Tylenol. That's Alka-Seltzer. And they'll start listing all the, Afrin for my nose. These are drugs. Those are drugs. Hello? Are you listening? They're drugs. Just because you can walk into a pharmacy and buy them for $4 or $10 or whatever, these are drugs. Just because they're allowed to be sold over the counter doesn't mean they're not dangerous. Every single one of them can kill you. They are serious chemicals. If you don't think so, take a whole bottle. Now, you don't, because you'll sue me because you'll die. That's how poisonous they are. Think about it. Going and get a whole gallon of freshly squeezed carrot juice. Drink the whole gallon. See if you die. You're not. Skin may turn orange. I'm kidding. You're not going to die. You're going to be in the bathroom peeing, but you're not going to die. You understand? You take a chemical that's put in an over-the-counter drug and take a gallon of it, you'll die. They're chemicals. They're poisons. They're man-made. They can kill you. People don't understand just how deadly they are. The reason is because you think, well, if they're allowed to be sold without a prescription, how can they be dangerous? I mean, they're being advertised on TV all the time. How can they be dangerous? 2,000 people last year in America died from taking an aspirin. That's how dangerous that drug is. Why are they allowed to be sold? Money! That's why they're allowed to be sold. Why do you think cigarettes are still allowed to be sold? Money! That's why they're allowed to be sold. It doesn't mean it's safe. Now let's back up for a moment. Our conclusion is that all illness is caused by two things. One being the toxins in your body. When you have lots of toxins in your body goes out of balance and your immune system is weakened. When this occurs, your body cannot fight off any of the viruses or bacteria that you pick up. Thus, you get sick more often with more severity and for longer periods of time. You also have an environment that is very likely to produce illness and disease. I pointed out earlier that the number one cause of the high amounts of toxicity in the body is prescription and non-prescription drugs. The amount of sickness, the increased severity, and increased duration is a direct relation to the increase in prescription and non-prescription drug use. However, illness and disease become complicated issues when you look at the hundreds, if not thousands, of variables that are involved. I want to generally address what you should do, and then in the next chapter, I'll give you some specifics depending on your current situation. Keeping in mind, I am not a medical doctor. I am not giving medical advice, and I cannot cure any disease. As a matter of fact, I believe there is not a single person or substance on the planet that can cure a disease in the traditional medical accepted sense of the word. The only thing that happens is a healthcare practitioner can do some things using all natural remedies that will help your body heal itself. No one, in my opinion, can cure a disease. No doctor, no drug, no treatment, no therapy. Only your body can cure or heal itself. I do believe that there are certain things that you can do to help your body heal itself better and faster, or cure itself of any illness, sickness, and disease. I do believe that there are certain things you can do that can temporarily address some of the symptoms, allowing your body ultimately to regain its natural balanced state where illness and disease can't even exist. So let me expand on this point, the too much toxins in the body issue. It really comes down to this. Too much toxins in the body, where does that come from? It comes down to six areas. Number one, what goes in your body? Number two, what comes out of your body? Number three, exercise. Number four, rest. Number five, thoughts. Number six, what you say. Those are the six areas that deal with the toxicity issue in your body. So let's go through this list and address some common misconceptions and see what you should be doing if you want to virtually eliminate any disease. Maybe some of you reading this book have a disease or know someone that does. Maybe others are concerned about getting a disease and your major interest is doing the steps necessary in order to prevent that disease or illness or sickness. Keep in mind, the natural state of the human body is vibrant health. If you have any type of discomfort, illness, disease, or sickness, you are out of balance. It is not that natural state that your body was designed for. Your body was designed to be healthy and never get sick. Think about it. Now, the six areas listed above have a direct relation to toxicity in the body. It is interesting to note that when you are toxic, your body becomes highly acidic on the pH scale. Your body pH should be alkaline. When your body pH is acidic, you are susceptible to illness and disease. When your body pH is alkaline, you virtually can never get sick. Every single person who has cancer has a pH that is too acidic. Let me say that again. Because this whole pH thing, which was developed by Dr. Mortar, and has been talked about now on several television shows, myself included. We have been attacked by the FDA and the pharmaceutical industry for this, like you would not believe, because it is this simple. Your body has a pH, and I'll tell you later about a pH test you can do where you check your saliva pH and your urine pH. I do it once a month. It takes about 10 seconds. It's very simple. As long as your body's pH is alkaline, you virtually can't get sick. If your body pH is acidic, every disease can develop. Now think about it. Every single person who has been diagnosed with cancer has a pH that's too acidic. So if you were to test your pH and it was always alkaline, guess what? You can whistle a tune and walk down the street knowing that you can't. Impossible for cancer to develop in your body. Impossible. If your body is acidic, that means cancer could develop. And so you can do some things to get your pH back to alkaline. That's the objective. That's how simple it is. Now, let me show you how each of these six areas cause you to become too toxic, thus becoming more acidic. See, toxicity leads to an acidic pH, which leads to illness and disease. Let's look at what we put in our body. We put things in our body, as I mentioned, through our mouth, through our nose, through our eyes, through our ears, and through our skin. Let's talk about what goes in your mouth. I think Jack LaLanne said it best. Jack LaLanne is an incredible human being. He's in his 90s. He's vibrant, healthy, and strong. He doesn't get sick. He's a dynamic, healthy individual. And Jack says, if man made it, don't eat it. That's basically the bottom line. What you put in your mouth should be as close as possible. We can't be perfect, but ideally, everything you put in your mouth should be 100% in its natural state. If man made it or messed around with it, you shouldn't eat it. Now, if you go out and eat an apple, you may think, ah, this is an apple. Man didn't make it. Therefore, I can eat it. It's all natural, 100% natural. It's an apple. Well, we have a problem. You see, virtually all fruits and vegetables are in today's day and age, unfortunately, man-made. You didn't know that. Did you know that virtually all fruits and vegetables today have been genetically modified by man to become more disease resistant, grow faster, cheaper? You have to understand that the food industry is just the same as the pharmaceutical industry. It's always all about the money. A food manufacturer, or for that matter, a farmer, is in a business and has to sell more of his product and produce that product at a lower cost in order to make more money. So what do farmers do? They say, how can I grow the most apples or the most carrots or the most onions or whatever it is out of my field? How can I get the most produce out of my little field? And how can I produce them in the shortest period of time at the lowest cost so I can sell them at the highest possible profit? The answer is mess around with Mother Nature and change these natural fruits and vegetables with some man-made concoction that came out of a laboratory, some chemical, so that they grow bigger and faster, totally against the natural course of things or how they were designed. They become resistant to every disease. And that way, I can make sure, the farmer says, you know, that way I can make sure I have a full crop and I can sell more of my produce and make more money. So through genetic modification, your all-natural carrot or apple is no longer all-natural. It is really a man-made product. But it gets worse. Because that farmer has to squeeze in and produce more carrots per acre in order to make more profit, he uses chemical fertilizers and chemical pesticides and chemical deadly herbicides that he sprays on these, quote, natural products like carrots. When you then take that natural piece of fruit or vegetable, it's in fact loaded with toxic chemicals. It's also been stripped of its nutritional value. It has much less nutritional value than it did, let's say, 50 or 60 years ago. It's been said that you would have to eat 5 times the amount of food your grandparents did just to receive the same nutritional value from the exact same food. That means you'd have to eat 5 apples to get the same nutrition that your grandmother would get from eating 1 apple. That's why if you're going to eat fruits and vegetables, any food for that matter, which I highly encourage, of course, you should eat lots of fruits and vegetables, they should be organically grown. That means they haven't been genetically modified, and there's no chemicals put on the food. Grains such as rice and wheat are the same. You need to be buying organically grown food. In America, as opposed to many other countries, virtually everything you put in your mouth is toxic or contains toxins. Virtually everything made by man is toxic. This does not mean everything that is natural is not toxic. There are, of course, some plants that are highly poisonous and if consumed could kill you. But virtually everything made by man is a poison. Today, we put more toxins in our body than ever before. Virtually everything you put in your mouth today has either pesticides, herbicides, antibiotics, growth hormones, or been genetically modified or altered. Maybe chemical food additives are in it. Everything you put in your mouth has massive amounts of deadly toxic chemicals in some form. Even when you eat an apple, you're taking in all the deadly chemicals that were used in the growing and harvesting of that apple. All of our fruit, vegetables, grains, nuts, seeds are grown with highly poisonous, deadly chemical fertilizers, pesticides, and herbicides. Many have been genetically modified, turning them into a poisonous, unnatural material that the body doesn't even know how to react to. When you consume even fresh fruits and vegetables, you are ingesting small amounts of poison. The same conditions apply in the meat industry. Even worse, like farmers and other food producers, the meat industry needs to create a lot of product cheaply and quickly and sell it for as high a profit as possible. To that end, the industry uses growth hormones to speed an animal's growth, contributing to the record levels of obesity and early puberty in our children. Antibiotics to keep the animal healthy in unsanitary and inhumane conditions through economical conditions. You see, the problem is this. They load antibiotics into these animals because these animals are in such unhealthy and unsanitary situations that they become sick. So they load them with all these antibiotics so they'll at least pass the inspections and get through so they can be slaughtered. But the animal has been loaded with growth hormone and loaded with antibiotics. And the feed that they're feeding the animals is a totally unnatural diet that they not only pump more chemicals into the meat, but they also upset the animal's system so they become out of balance and pass that imbalance along to those who consume the meat. Many meat products are also aged. This means the dead animal flesh is allowed to rot, permitting deadly bacteria to grow. Remember, if it's not organic, if man has made it, don't eat it. The same holds true with dairy. Because of the use of drugs, growth hormones, pasteurization, and homogenization, dairy products today are a major health concern unless they are organic, not pasteurized, and not homogenized. There are two other things to consider when looking at dairy products, one of which is pasteurization, and the other is homogenization. Now, let me explain these two, because we're getting a little bit confused with our food here. You see, I want to just reiterate, and I'm going to digress from the book because I want to make the really important point. All the meat that you're buying, all the meat, okay? That means beef, lamb, chicken, any meat or fowl. It's virtually pumped full of growth hormone. When we eat it, we're getting growth hormone. That's why our kids are reaching puberty young. That's why we're having PMS and menopause problems. That's why we're having all types of obesity problems. The animals are loaded with antibiotics and growth hormone, and when we consume it, it causes all types of problems in us. Dairy is the same. They use growth hormone, pesticides, herbicides that's loaded into our cheese and dairy, and when we drink it, we wonder, again, why we're so overweight, why our kids are reaching puberty so quick, why we're having PMS problems and menopause problems. It's because of the growth hormone in the dairy and in the meat. The other problem with the dairy is the pasteurization and homogenization. So let me just talk about this. Pasteurization means they simply heat the dairy product to a very high temperature to kill any bacteria. The major problem is it also kills all the living enzymes that are in the milk, making it much harder to digest in the body and thus making the milk a totally unnatural product. Okay? So pasteurization is when you take the product, and by the way, virtually everything in a can or a jar or a bottle in the store, by law, has to be pasteurized, which is why you can't buy anything. Because the pasteurization process heats it up to 130, 180, 220 degrees, kills all the living enzymes, changes the molecular structure of it, and then you eat it. That's the problem. People wonder why we have so much acid reflux disease today and so much heartburn. It's because all of the enzymes in our food is being killed by this pasteurization process. And you can't buy food in the store that hasn't been pasteurized. By law, it has to, which is insane. Insane. So the first problem with dairy is it's been pasteurized. The second problem, and more important and even more dangerous, is homogenization. Now, do you remember the milkman? We used to have the milkman come to the house to deliver milk. Many of you used to have a milkman. Why did we have to have a milkman? Why couldn't we just buy our milk in the store? The reason is the milk went bad very quickly. It spoiled within just a few days, so you had to have it delivered fresh every day, or at least 2 or 3 days a week. The food industry then said, we're losing money by not selling milk in our stores, but we can't sell milk because it goes bad too quickly. So the industry came up with an incredible solution, a process they invented called homogenization. When the milkman delivered our milk, you may remember that the cream separated from the milk. Remember the cream was on the top? You had to shake up the milk before you drank it. The process of homogenization actually spins the milk at a very high rate, breaking down the clusters of molecules within the milk so that you don't have any separation of the cream and the milk. Therefore, the milk will not spoil within a few days. It can actually last a few weeks before going bad. Now, the food industry can have milk shipped to them. They can put it on the store shelf and they can sell it. No more need for the milkman. The problem is homogenized and pasteurized milk, and all dairy products made with homogenized and pasteurized milk are totally 100% unnatural and dangerous. You see, the clusters of molecules are so small that when you ingest them, they virtually scar your arteries. They clog up your digestive system, making it very difficult to digest food, which is one of the major causes, as I mentioned, of acid reflux disease, obesity, and constipation. Also, because it messes up all your intestines, causes all types of allergies. The scarring of the arteries causes the LDL cholesterol then to attach itself to the artery, which is one of the major causes of arteriosclerosis, which is, of course, one of the major causes of heart disease. The bottom line is pasteurized and homogenized dairy products are unnatural. Raw dairy products are natural. Organic, raw, natural dairy products are natural. Remember Jack LaLanne, if man made it, don't eat it. When you eat fish, you're only slightly better off. Many kinds of fish are farmed, meaning the highly toxic feed and chemicals are used to make the fish grow unnaturally fast in unnaturally large sizes. Other poisonous chemicals are used in the processing of the fish before sale to consumers. When you consume this, quote, man-made, farmed fish, you are also taking in all the poisons and toxins that have been used. Fish in the wild are much, much better. However, because of the massive dumping of poisonous chemicals into our lakes, rivers, and oceans, many even wild fish have been found to have abnormally high levels of toxic chemicals in them. Folks, when you eat any food that has been produced by a food manufacturer, the fact is that you are 100% guaranteed to be ingesting highly toxic and poisonous man-made chemicals. That's the fact. What else do we put in our body through our mouth? Well, if it's in a box, if it's in a jar, if it's in a can, if it's been processed by the food industry, we put it in our mouth. The food industry, keep in mind, are publicly traded corporations that have one objective only, to make more money and increase shareholder value. And the way they do it is to sell more food and produce the food at the lowest cost. Always remember the food industry. When you see ads on television for foods and restaurants and fast food chains, these are publicly traded companies that only want to make more money. They don't want to make the best quality food. They will lie and mislead you in their advertising. All they want to do is produce the food at the cheapest cost possible, and they want to sell for the highest possible cost. They want it to last forever, so it never spoils or goes bad. And they want to sell it to you in massive amounts. That's all they're interested in doing. It's always all about the money. The food industry puts tens of thousands of chemical ingredients in the food, and in many cases, they do not have to list those ingredients on the label. How do they get away with it? Through our lobbyists, friends. Remember we talked about lobbyists? They also pay off politicians and members of the Food and Drug Administration. It's all about the money. So why is that bad? The additives being put in the food are unnatural, toxic chemicals. They adversely affect the body. They suppress the immune system, making it more susceptible to disease. They make you age quicker. They turn your body from the natural alkaline pH, where disease can't exist, to the acidic pH state, which means you can easily be prone to cancer, heart disease, diabetes, allergies, etc., etc., etc. Not only are these chemical additives that the food industry is putting in our food and not even listing them on the label toxic, but they are put into the food and the processing strips away much of the nutritional value of the food. So these chemical additives not only are toxic themselves, but the additives and the processing of the food strips the nutritional value of the food. So when we eat food today, it has 100 times more toxic chemicals in it than it did 50 years ago, and infinitely less nutrients. That's the problem. As I mentioned before, if you would eat a regular apple, it would have about 1/5 of the nutrition of just one apple 50 years ago. But once the food is processed and put into a box or a can, you're going to have to eat 100 times what you had to eat 50 years ago to get the same nutritional value, because it's been wiped out. You see, once you buy food that's in a box or a can or any type of package, it's been stripped of so much of its nutrition that you'd have to eat 100 times the amount of food just to get the same nutritional value that your grandparents did. So in addition to having the poisons put in your system from the chemicals that are not even listed on the label, the food you are getting has almost no nutritional value. Plus, these food additives actually block absorption of nutrients. So not only are you not getting enough nutrients from the food you're eating, but what little nutrients you are getting are being blocked and not absorbed because of the chemicals they're putting in. This means everyone has nutritional deficiencies which cause imbalance, which cause a weakened immune system, making you both susceptible to viruses and bacteria, plus causing your body to develop diseases and pain. Why are these food additives put in our food anyway? Well, it's very interesting. I was actually at a health spa, and there was a gentleman who was at this particular spa who was a senior executive of a major food processing company, one of the largest producers of canned goods in the world. Now, we were talking about food additives, and yes, he admitted that there are thousands and thousands of chemical additives put into the food, and most of these are not listed on the label at all. And he said that the reason that was is because his industry lobbied Congress, which passed laws allowing them not to put all these chemicals that they're putting in the food, allowing them they said that they didn't have to put it on the label. Now, I suggested that these food additives were dangerous. And I said they're not good for a person's health. They can cause disease. And one of the reasons why people are so sick today is because of these additives that are being put into the food by the thousands that aren't even listed on the label. He assured me that the chemicals were totally safe and that they were such in small amounts. They were just such a small amount of these chemicals in the canned goods that they had no effect whatsoever on the human body. I then asked him a question. I says, if they are totally safe, what if I were to give you a glass of one of these chemicals? Would you drink it? He stammered and stuttered and went back and forth a few times. I must have asked him that question 10 times without getting an answer. I said, hey, you told me these chemicals are safe. I'm going to pour you a glass of one of the chemicals. Just drink it. He finally said no, he wouldn't drink it because it could potentially be a problem. He finally admitted that the ingredients were, in fact, highly toxic, and if he drank a glass of one of them, he'd probably die. But he repeated, because they were in such small amounts. We don't put, just a small amount of the chemicals are in the can. It's so small. It's not even, you couldn't even notice it. It's a small amount. They have no effect at all on the human body. I then asked him the million-dollar question. I says, if you are putting such a small amount in, and these ingredients are in such minute doses that they would have no effect on the human body, then why must you put them in the food at all? If they have no effect, then why do you have to put them in if the small amounts have no effect? He couldn't really answer. After grilling this man, I'm telling you, I grilled this guy, he finally admitted that they in fact have a major effect on the way the food tastes, the way it's preserved, the texture, the color, and a whole host of other things. Even that it's such a small amount, it has a major, major effect. That's why they have to put it in. Well, folks, if it has a major effect on the food, it has a major effect on your body and your health. But I could tell that there was something else that these ingredients were doing that he wasn't telling. You can always tell when somebody's holding back information. I searched through my network of insiders and my network of whistleblowers who are involved in the food industry. And after an exhaustive investigation, because I just knew something was fishy here, I found something. I discovered something that's going to blow your mind. See, the food industry, just like the tobacco industry, is hiding a dirty little secret. The food industry, now get this, the food industry is putting ingredients in the food knowingly and purposely because the ingredients that they're adding, the chemicals that they're adding, they know, the food industry knows, will make you hungry, make you fat, and make you addicted to the food itself. Now listen to and pay attention, because I am blowing the whistle. The food industry is knowingly and purposely putting ingredients, chemicals in the food, not listing these on the label in most cases. And these chemicals and combinations of chemicals actually make you hungry, make you fat, and get you addicted to the food. This is one of the biggest news stories of the century, and I bet you'll probably never hear it. The food industry, an industry of publicly traded companies, is all about the money. Now imagine this conversation actually happening. A junior executive walks into the boardroom and says, "Gentlemen, in order for us to increase shareholder value and the price of our stock, we need to sell more food. And to produce this food at the lowest possible cost. And I have the solution. Gentlemen, there are certain ingredients that when mixed together and added to the food actually make people hungrier. So that when they buy our product and start eating it, they actually have to eat more. They can't stop eating it because the chemicals we put in will make them hungry. Then there are certain chemicals we can put in the food that actually make a person get fatter, even if they don't even eat that much. Their body becomes fatter and fatter and fatter. And that's good for us, gentlemen, because the fatter a person is, the hungrier they'll get, and they will have to consume and buy more of our food. Isn't this great? And gentlemen, there are certain ingredients that if we can mix these ingredients together, there are chemicals that we don't have to put on the label. We can put it in the food, and it actually gets people chemically addicted to the food so that they have to eat our food. They can't stop eating it. And if they stop eating it, they'll get headaches. They'll be nauseous. They'll be upset. They'll be depressed. They'll be anxious until they eat some of our food. It's, folks, gentlemen, it's very similar to opium or cocaine. Folks, is this crazy? No. Remember Coca-Cola? Coca-Cola was colored sweetened water, which had cocaine in it. Coca-Cola was the name because coca referred to the coca plant, and cola referred to the cola nut. The cola nut had the caffeine, and the coca, or the cocaine, got the person physically addicted. It was quietly removed back in the 20s, without much fanfare or media exposure, but that was their product, get people chemically addicted. Right now, as you're reading this, the food industry, like every other industry, has to increase profits. And the only way they can do it is to sell you more food. Why is it that Americans are the fattest people on the planet? Remember, it's all about the money. Oh, there are a couple other scary things as well. Many of these ingredients they put in the food make you depressed, which is really good for the drug companies, because if you're depressed, you have to go to the drug companies to handle your depression, right, and buy their drugs. Interestingly enough, some of the food additives which are put in the food to make you depressed are manufactured by the same companies that sell you the antidepressant drugs. It's a fantastic money-making business, folks, at your expense. Remember, it's all about the money. The greed that goes on in healthcare and in food is beyond your comprehension. It's beyond your comprehension, and you are being taken advantage of. These multinational corporations, these billionaires, these shareholders and directors and corporate executives who are living lifestyles like kings on your dime while you get sick and depressed, they're taking full advantage of you. It's not right. It's not fair. It's criminal, in my opinion. It's unethical, and it's sad. But we can do something about it. We can be educated, we can make changes, and we can do what needs to be done to change the system. But just stop being brainwashed by advertising. That's the bottom line. The drug companies now are using advertising to brainwash you into thinking that you're sick and you need their drugs. The food industry for years has brainwashed you into buying their chemically addicted food that makes you fat and sick. It's the advertising that's the problem. But we'll tell you how to solve the problem. Now, there's another situation that comes up in the processing of food. Now, I mentioned, you know, you have food. It is loaded with chemicals. The chemicals are themselves toxic. The chemicals plus the food processing strips the food of nutritional value. But there's another issue, and that is the energy that you get from the food is virtually wiped out when they do the processing or they put chemicals in it. Now, without giving a physics lesson, when you eat anything, you are getting the energy from that thing. Now, how do we know this? Well, think about it. You take a pot and you put soil in it. You put 10 pounds of soil and you put in one tiny little seed. And every day you add some water, and at the end of the year, you have this big plant. Well, take the plant out, shake off the soil from the roots, and weigh the soil. Guess what? You still have 10 pounds of soil. The only thing you added was some water. If you were to measure the water, you may have added about 5 pounds of water over the year. Theoretically, the plant should weigh no more than 5 pounds if it grabbed 100% of the water, but the plant weighs 50 pounds. Wow, what happened? How did 50 pounds of mass and matter magically appear? It didn't eat the soil. The 10 pounds of soil is still there. There were only about 5 pounds of water. How did that magically generate out of nothing? Where did the plant come from? Now think about it. See, human beings are the same. If you take a little baby and you were to weigh every bit of food that went in and then subtract all the excretions that come out through the urine, the stool, the sweating, through the skin, you would see that whatever goes in comes out. If 10 pounds of food and water put in, guess what? 10 pounds of stuff comes out. But the little baby grows from 15 pounds to 50 pounds to 150 pounds. But everything that goes in, all the liquid and everything we eat comes out. How does that happen? Well, guess what? Science really can't give you an answer. The answer is that we get the energy from the food and the sunlight and the air. And that's how matter is manifested. It's the energy. So if we go through everything that we put in our mouth, whatever we eat and whatever we drink, ask yourself, is it natural? Or has it been screwed up by some greedy individual or corporation who doesn't care about your health, who doesn't care if you get sick, who doesn't care if you're depressed or if you're fat? The only thing they care about is making more money. Remember, it's always all about the money. So what do we eat and drink? Well, ideally, you want to eat all natural things, fruits, vegetables, and get them organic. When you cook them, it destroys some of the living enzymes. So raw or uncooked is much better than cooked. Now, should you become a vegetarian? Well, I don't know if you should be a vegetarian or not, quite frankly. Everyone is a little different. I'm not a vegetarian. What works for one person may work slightly better or worse for someone else. I can tell you this. I believe that if you were to add or increase the amount of raw organic fruits and vegetables in your diet, you'd be much better off. Without changing anything else, just adding a lot more raw organic fruits and vegetables in your diet, you'd feel better, you'd have less disease, you'd live longer, you'd be happier, you'd be less depressed. Now here's the other big problem. You can't look at food labels. You have to read the ingredients. Because if the label says all natural, it's usually a big lie. Why? The food industry has lobbied the politicians to allow certain made, totally man-made ingredients to be classified as all natural. Keep in mind, there are over 10,000 ingredients that don't have to be put on the label. So if you see something that says all natural, it just means that the government has allowed them to put that on so they can sell more food. Ideally, if it's in a box or a can, don't even eat it. Some people go into, health food stores or whole food type stores and assume that everything that is in the health food store is good for them. Well, it's not. You have to read labels. And ideally, if it's in a box or if it's in a bottle or if it's in a jar, don't even consume it. Which leads me to restaurants. The big question is, what kind of eat in restaurants? Well, the answer is real simple, nothing. But you can say, well, I can't live like that. Listen, I know it's unrealistic for you to completely change what you've been doing your whole life. But realistically, there is nothing in a restaurant that can be classified as safe. Now, yes, I still eat in restaurants. Why? Because I'm not fanatical. And I'm not asking you to be fanatical. Now, I do know some people that are fanatical. They eat nothing but raw, organic food, and these people are absolutely amazing physical specimens. However, I live in the real world, and I think so do you. Just do the best you can. Realistically, stay away from anything in the fast food restaurant. That category is obviously the worst. Some of you may be familiar with the movie Fast Food Nation. If you haven't seen the movie Fast Food Nation, I highly recommend it. It's the documentary of an individual. He decides to eat McDonald's food exclusively for 30 days. He takes all these blood tests before. He takes a picture of himself, weighs himself, and he keeps a diary. And all he eats for breakfast, lunch, and dinner is food at McDonald's. He eats virtually everything on the menu. And if they asked him to supersize it, he says yes. If they don't, he didn't. And he ate breakfast, lunch, and dinner there. He gained over 20-something odd pounds. He looked absolutely horrible, even just a couple weeks into it. His health deteriorated in such a major way, the doctors were concerned that he may have major permanent damage to his internal organs by eating fast food. He looked like hell. He looked horrible. Now, it took him 30 days to gain over 20-something pounds, but it took him 8 months to lose it, which I'll talk about later about losing weight. But the bottom line is, it's so flagrantly obvious that fast food is designed to make you fat. It doesn't just make you fat. It's specifically designed by the manufacturers to make you fat. They want you to be fat. Okay? And these foods are designed to get you physically addicted. This guy was, if he didn't eat the food, he was depressed. As soon as he ate it, he felt better. Folks, that's what cocaine does. Okay, heroin. If you're not taking it, you need it. You're depressed. And as soon as you give yourself some heroin or cocaine, you feel better. Okay? That's what fast food does. It's really, really crazy. But bottom line, in restaurants, stay away from fast food. Just don't even go there. But I'm going to talk more about restaurants a little bit later. But let me say this again because it's so important. There are over 15,000 toxic chemicals that are allowed to be added to the food, both in restaurants and in the stores, without being listed on the label. Every year, the food industry puts a higher percentage of toxic chemicals in our food. These chemicals are produced in secret laboratories where the security is higher than Fort Knox. When asked why these chemicals are put into the food, the answers are vague and ambiguous by the food manufacturers. They really won't tell us. However, the information I receive from insiders, as I mentioned, I can now blow the whistle on the real reasons these chemicals are being added to our food without our knowledge. Remember, it always goes back to it's always all about the money. Food companies have one goal, to make more money. The only way they can make more money is to produce the food the cheapest way possible, sell it at the highest possible price, and sell more and more food. The scientists who work in these secret laboratories are developing chemicals and combinations of chemicals that are added to our food and not put on the label. Now, this is legal because the food industry, through the use of lobbyists,